Dear viewers, welcome to you again in a new episode of our program, Questions About Faith. In the previous episodes we spoke about the abrogating and abrogated verses. I want to mention a verse from the Quran, which I read before in one of the surahs, Surah 12, Yunus, verse 94, where it reads, "If you are in any doubt concerning what we have sent down to you, then ask those who have read the book before you. Truth has come down to you from your Lord, so do not be a waverer." And again, we have our guest, Reverend Zakaria Botros. You are most welcome. Would you please summarize for us the topic of abrogation again, in order to go on with it?
Abrogation in the Quran means a replacement of rulings of certain verses, and not just rulings, but other things as well, such as erasing, replacement, alteration, as we have seen in the previous episodes.
Yes.
And we stopped in our discussion at the types of abrogation, as defined by the scholars of abrogation in Islam.
Yes.
We said that they fall under three categories. The first one is the abrogation of the letter or writing of a verse, yet its ruling remains in effect. What does the writing mean? It means the text of the verse itself, the wording as written in the Quran. The text was abrogated, namely, it is no more there. It has been canceled out. And the ruling remained. And what does that mean? It means that it is still applicable. Muslims still apply the rules contained in the verses. Are there any verses that are non-existent in the Quran, yet Muslims apply their rulings? Yes. An example is what we mentioned in the previous episode about the adulterer and the adulteress who must be stoned to death.
Yes.
Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "This verse was in the Quran, and for fear that I would be accused of adding to the book of God, I would have written the verse myself by my own hand." And Muslims still stone the adulterer and the adulteress.
Yes.
They still stone the adulterer and the adulteress.
The second category?
The other category is the exact opposite. It has to do with verses whose ruling has been abrogated, yet the writing is still retained in the Quran. This means that the words are there, but they are not applicable. The example we cite here is the example of the 124 verses in the Quran that encourage Muslims to deal peacefully with non-Muslims, such as, "If they incline to peace, be inclined to it too. You have your own religion, and I have my own religion." Then came a verse in Surah Al-Tawbah, verse 5, and ordered Muslims to kill non-Muslims. This single verse canceled 124 verses. Those 124 verses are still existent in the Quran, but their application is halted. If you talk to him and say, "Why don't you argue with us in the polite manner?" he will tell you, "Oh no, this has already been canceled. It has been abrogated. There is no alternative but murder. You either embrace Islam or you get killed. Fight those who do not believe in God, neither ban what God and His Messenger have banned, nor believe in the true religion, which is Islam, even those of the people of the book." That means the people with whom he had peace, he has now canceled it. So now we have talked about verses whose writing has been abrogated, yet their ruling has been retained, and the opposite, which are those verses whose ruling has been abrogated, yet their writings has been retained.
Yes.
The third category, however, which we have started talking about is... those verses whose ruling and writings have both been abrogated. Neither are the verses in the Quran, nor is the ruling applicable anymore.
But where have those verses gone?
That is the question. As a matter of fact, we pose this question to scholars of abrogation, and truly they come up with answers that are way out of line. What we would like for the scholars of Al-Azhar University is to explain this situation. We do read those things. When I ask one of the scholars to explain those things, I don't mean just to answer in one word and say, "No, it is wrong." I would like some explanation, something that would respect the mind of the viewer. Please tell us if it is wrong, and why it is so, and for what reason, and explain if this is logically sound or not. Al-Zuhri said in his book, Nawasikh al-Qur'an, Abrogations in the Qur'an, by Gamal al-Din ibn al-Juzi, page 33.
Yes.
Let's read this very weird story about the Prophet Muhammad. It says, Abu Imama told me that a number of the companions of the Prophet had told him that a man among them woke up in the middle of the night wanting to recite a surah which he had memorized, a Quranic surah. He recalled it. So during the night he woke up in order to recite it, but he could not recall any part of it except the part which says, In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the Forgiving. So where is the verse? He forgot it. So what did the man do? In the morning he went to the Prophet. Who is telling us this? Again, it is Al-Zuhri in a book called Nawasikh al-Quran, Abrogations in the Quran, a book written by Gamal al-Din ibn al-Juzi. This is not of our own invention.
And I assume that this book is in circulation and one could read it?
Yes, it is in the Islamic bookstores. When he came in the morning to ask the Prophet about it, he then says, Others came for the same purpose. Apparently, there were other people who had heard the surah and memorized it, and when they wanted to recall it, they were unable to. It just evaporated. So in the morning, all of them came and gathered together in order to ask the Prophet. The Prophet gave them permission, so they asked him about the surah. This means he gave them permission to talk. And they started talking. Last night we tried to remember such and such a surah, but we just forgot it. This is what Al-Zuhri says in his book. Muhammad kept silent for a whole hour and did not return any answer to them. A whole hour. Perhaps he was trying to recall it himself or something. Then he said, It has been abrogated last night.
Yes.
And this was that. It was abrogated. Neither the verse is there, nor its ruling is there. Nor is it known anymore. Because it has been abrogated. And the people forgot it. So it has been relegated to the past. You know, the question that keeps coming to my mind is the verse that you mentioned.
Yes.
We have sent down the reminder and we intend to safeguard it or preserve it. How effective is this verse? Where does it come into action in this incident?
Yes.
You know what is the simplest answer they give you? Something we got used to hearing. They say that this tradition is weak.
Yes.
Narrated by a single man. Fabricated, incomplete, disconnected, or they give you any one of the 35 defects of tradition.
My question is there an objective answer to these questions?
Yes, and logical as well.
Yes.
Abu Bakr al-Razi commented on this issue. He commented on the section of abrogation, whose recitation and ruling have been cancelled. What did Al-Razi say? This may only be accomplished through God's causing them to forget them and removing them from their memory and commanding them to cease reciting them and writing them in the Quran. And with time, they would fall into oblivion. Now, where does Abu Bakr al-Razi say this? Refer to the book Al-Atqan fi Ulum al-Qur'an by Gilal al-Din al-Suyuti, Volume 2, page 26 in the Arabic. Then, why has God sent the verse, then, if he was going to remove it and cause it to be forgotten? These are big question marks.
Yes.
If there is any respect to the intelligence, there would be answers.
Yes.
Is that clear? That was one example. Now let's come to a surah, Al-Ahzab.
Go ahead.
Which is surah 33 in the Uthmanic Quran. Shariq ibn Asim reported the following on the strings of Zir. Ubay ibn Abi Ka'b said to me, Ubay ibn Abi Ka'b, how do you read surah Al-Ahzab? I answered, 73 verses. These are the verses in the Quran. He answered, by the one I swear by it has been revealed to Muhammad, and it is equal to Surah Al-Baqarah, or perhaps it is larger than it. Do you know how many verses are in Surah Al-Baqarah? 286 verses. From this, we gather that the Surah Al-Ahzab was either 286 verses or more. Now there are only 73 left of it. You find all of this written in a book entitled Al-Tahzib, Volume 10, page 42 to 44 in Arabic. You find it also in the book Nawasikh Al-Quran by Gamal al-Din ibn al-Juzi, page 33.
I wonder where those verses have gone.
God lifted them up, removed them, caused them to be forgotten.
Yes.
Just any answer. How could they answer it?
We do want an answer to this question.
The third thing. You know this topic is really huge.
Yes.
It is so big, and what you hear about it is very strange, really odd. That's why this man says in his book, many scholars avoid talking about it.
Yes.
It is a difficult and complicated issue. He's talking about abrogation, which many of the Islamic scholars and commentators avoid getting involved in its details.
Yes.
Well, no wonder. You see my point?
Yes.
Here's the testimony of Aisha. What did Aisha say? She says, Surah Al-Ahzab had been recited at the time of the Prophet in excess of 200 verses. But when Uthman wrote down the copies, we only got what is there now, which is 73 verses. These words are in a book by Gilal al-Din al-Suyuti entitled Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran, Volume 2, page 26. The same problem again.
Yes.
So we have testimony of the Prophet himself who said it has been lifted up or removed last night. Then the testimony about Surah Al-Ahzab, which they said was very long, then was reduced to only 73 verses. Now we come to the testimony of Umar ibn al-Khattab.
Yes.
Umar ibn al-Khattab said, let none of you say I have retained the whole of the Quran. How would you know what the entire of the Quran means? Much of the Quran has disappeared. Much of the Quran has disappeared? This is the testimony of one of the well-guided caliphs. He goes on to say, but let him say, I have retained of it that which has come to light. This is really weird. Now, where is this reference? This is by Gilal al-Din al-Suyuti in his book, Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran, Volume 2, page 26.
You say then that a part of the Quran has been lost, and you ask where it is.
Right. Let's read further on. Al-Suyuti says, on the strings of Abdi, the son of Abdi, Umar said to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, have you not found among that which was revealed to us the command that says, fight as you have fought the first time, for we do not find it anymore. He answered him, it has been left out among those things which were left out from the Quran. This is Al-Suyuti saying that it has been simply left out.
This is quite illogical.
Very difficult. But where are the minds that would grasp this today? Why do they not want people to think? Shouldn't you present your religion in its entirety in a logical way to convince the mind? Don't you, our beloved Muslims, take pride in the fact that the Islamic religion is a religion for the mind? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay, then talk to us in an intellectually sound way concerning this issue. You know, you heard about Uthman ibn Affan? You heard about his copy of the Quran? Are you aware of the changes that were made in it?
You mean that even in that copy, there were changes?
Well, listen to that. Haggag ibn Jarih told us, Abi Hamida told me on the strings of Hamida, the daughter of Yunus. She says, when my father was 80 years old, he recited to me from the copy of Aisha the following. God and his angels pray over the Prophet. O you who believe, pray over him and give peace and over those who pray in the front ranks. And then she adds, this used to be the case before Uthman changed the copy of the Quran. before Uthman changed the copy? And this is approved in the Islamic references, such as Galal al-Din al-Suyuti in his book Al-Atqan fi Ulum al-Qur'an, Volume 2, page 26. Very weird examples.
Yes.
That which have been abrogated both in writing and ruling.
I'm not diverting here, but I would like to pause here and mention that the verse says here that God and his angels pray over the Prophet. Isn't it more fitting to say that the Prophet would be praying to God instead of God Almighty praying over the Prophet?
Of course, both lingually and logically, prayer has to do with the relation of the slave to his master, to God Most High. It has no other meaning.
From the created toward the Creator.
But in order to justify the matter, they say pray here means to bless.
Yes.
But still, such explanations will be hard to accept.
Yes.
Because the word prayer in Arabic is derived from the word relationship. Prayer comes from a different root word than blessing. From what source, then, have they come up with the word blessing? You know, it would be good to respect people's intellect. Now we come to examples of verses whose writing and ruling have both been abrogated. I gave you four already, and here is the fifth. It is the testimony of Muslima ibn Makhlad, quoting Abi Sufyan al-Kala'i, that this aforementioned Muslima ibn Makhlad said to them one day, "Tell me of two verses from the Quran that have not been written in the Mus'haf." But they could not tell him. Abu al-Kanud Sa'd ibn Malik was also there. So Ibn Muslima said, "Those who believed and migrated and fought for the sake of God through their properties and their own lives, rejoice, you who are prosperous. And those who gave shelter to him and supported him and quarreled on his behalf were the folk upon whom was his wrath. None of them is aware of the pleasures that are held secret for them as a reward for what they have done." This verse is non-existent in the present Quran. Again, this is mentioned by Galal al-Din al-Suyuti in his book Al-Atqan fi Ulum al-Quran in the same volume and on the same page. Isn't that odd?
Yes.
Isn't that strange? I will end this up now with what Dr. Taha Hussein has written. Dr. Taha Hussein commented on what Uthman ibn Affan did, namely his burning of the Quran copies and verses that had been revealed in them. Of course, we all know about the story of Uthman ibn Affan and burning the Mus'hafs. There used to be seven readings, or seven different Mus'hafs. And when Uthman ibn Affan saw that the tribes were fighting over these differences, and Ibn Mas'ud said that there were 1,700 differences among them, so he brought six copies of the Quran, burnt them, and kept only one. So Dr. Taha Hussein is commenting on this incident.
Yes.
He says the following. The Prophet, God's prayer and peace be upon him, said that the Quran was revealed in seven manners of letter. That's exactly what we have been talking about here. All of them were sufficient and conclusive.
Yes.
And when Uthman banned the copies and burnt the ones he could burn, he was banning texts revealed by God and burning writings that contained Quran, which the Muslims have received from the Messenger of God. He did burn and ban the use of certain verses.
Yes.
He goes on to say, "And this imam had no right to cancel even a letter from the Quran, nor delete any of its texts. Moreover, he, that is, Uthman ibn Affan, had commissioned only a few of the companions of the Prophet to write down the Quran and left out a multitude of the readers who had heard the Quran from the Prophet and committed it to memory from him. He commissioned only those to write the Mus'haf. This is a reprehensible point, and hence we understand the reason for Ibn Mas'ud's anger, because Ibn Mas'ud was one of the best ones who had memorized the Quran. And according to his own testimony, he had memorized from the mouth of the Prophet 70 surahs of the Quran." That's Ibn Mas'ud. who then was,
and Ibn Mas'ud was left out from the whole thing?
Exactly. This man with all his knowledge and his prodigious memory was entirely left out, and whom did they bring instead? Someone by the name of Zayd ibn Thabit. Let's read what it says here. Zayd ibn Thabit, who was commissioned to put the Quran together, had not reached puberty yet. At a time when Ibn Mas'ud had already memorized 70 surahs, and when Ibn Mas'ud stood to protest...
Excuse me, what's the meaning of reached puberty?
Well, he was very young, a boy. He was still a child. Ibn Mas'ud had memorized a lot, whereas this guy was still a boy. Ibn Mas'ud protested. And when Ibn Mas'ud stood to protest, disapproving the burning of the copies of the Quran. We are still quoting Dr. Taha Hussein from his book entitled Al-Fitna al-Kubra, or The Great Sedition, Volume 1, from page 160 to 183. Again, we repeat. And when Ibn Mas'ud started to protest, disapproving the burning of the copies of the Quran, what did Uthman do to him? He took him out of the mosque in such a violent way, and he had him repeatedly knocked to the ground until his ribs were smashed. Very tough. And on this account, many surahs and many verses were lost, as we have seen previously.
This is very strange and also hard to accept. I cannot but deduce from what you say, or rather it is understood from what you say, that you almost challenge the authenticity of the Quran, Islam, and the Muslims in general.
Well, you can't take it that way.
Yes.
Who am I to challenge the authenticity of the Quran, Islam, or the Muslims? The first thing I always emphasize is that I truly love Muslims. All Muslims.
Yes.
Why? Because they are the creation of God and His handiwork. They have great value in His eyes. This applies to every man. God loves him. So we do love our Muslim brothers, but we also want them to know the truth.
Yes.
I'm not challenging or attacking. First of all, we do not belong to any anti-Islamic organization, neither international nor local. We are only driven by love.
Yes.
We seek the salvation of the Muslim brother so that he might know the way of God.
What do you mean by the salvation of the Muslim?
Well, the salvation of the Muslim. When God created man, he was in the best state and manner.
Yes.
Pure, holy, righteous, and full of grace.
Yes.
But when Satan lured him, man and his wife were brought down from paradise. The Quran says, literally, descend from it, all of you, in the plural, namely you and your offspring, according to the Quranic commentaries. I'm talking Islamically now. Man became a castaway from the divine presence, separated from God.
But I meant by my question to you, Reverend Father, to give us an answer as a Christian. Do you want to communicate a message to the Muslim? What is this message?
I would still say the same thing. God created man in his likeness and his image. Then man sinned. He was cast away from the presence of God and was separated from life, from God, the source of life, and became under the judgment of death. Man was dead.
Because of?
Sin.
Sin, yes.
He sinned, he rebelled, and he was separated from God because of his disobedience. God in his love created this creation and would not let it perish. And out of his love, he wants to save it and restore it back to its original state. And henceforth came the plan of redemption.
Yes.
The plan of redemption. Namely, that Jesus Christ came, was born of the Virgin Mary, to fulfill the redemption of mankind, to die on behalf of humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all those who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever accepts Christ receives eternal life. But how can a Muslim accept Christ? While the Quran says, the Christians are infidels and the gospel has been distorted. So the Muslim closes the door and lives unsatisfied with his own religion and unable to find something else to satisfy him.
I almost hear you saying that within every man there is a need. There is a longing for the Creator inside the created. So how can I make this relationship with God?
Exactly right. God has done everything. All that is left for man is to accept his plan. God has done everything because man could do nothing. The Bible says, by grace you have been saved, by faith. This is not of you, it is the gift of God. Man only seeks his salvation, seeks his own comfort. Because as long as man is away from God, there is no peace. No peace to the wicked, says the Lord. Peace comes about only when he is reconciled to God. And in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions.
This is so good.
Well, Christ is willing to forgive man's sins. When man accepts his redemption, then he will forgive him. He said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.
Yes.
So the door is closed at the face of my Muslim brother. Islam neither satisfies him nor answers his questions. And at the same time, Islam shuts the door so that he cannot receive the grace of salvation and eternal rest and happiness. Therefore, I encourage Muslims to ask, read the Quran in depth, read the commentaries in depth, read the tradition in depth, and ask the sheikhs. Find a solution and a way because your eternal life is more valuable than being led to waste. Seek God.
Thank you very much. What you say is that religion does not lead to God, but faith leads to God. Thank you.
Well, faith through religion, because religion provides us with faith. I'm not talking about a religion that is merely a set of regulations. No, a religion that offers us faith, offers God, and offers us grace. Therefore, seek it, that you may be eternally happy.
Thank you very much. Dear viewers, we heard that God desires for all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Once again, we thank you for visiting us and for allowing us to visit you in this episode. Until we meet again, we welcome all your questions that you can send us via the addresses shown on the screen. Thank you. Till we meet again, may God's grace be with all of you.
Amen.